I am Pastor James. I am the pastor at Shepherd of Sierra Lutheran Church in Carson City, Nevada. Apparently, it's not pronounced Nevada. They yell at you every time you say that in a sermon. Nevada, Carson City, Nevada, which is near Lake Tahoe, California, kind of area. If you've heard of Las Vegas, that's in Nevada, but it's 12 hours away. Yeah, totally different state, basically. Different district, too. So I'm the pastor there, sole pastor there. Before that, I was at St. Mark Houston with these folks. Before that, up at St. Louis, doing some extra seminary. I did the specific ministry program. Who's heard of that? Yeah, whoop. I did that. And then after doing that, was a glutton for punishment and went and did the residential MDiv also. So if any of you are interested in any type of ministry formation program, I've done them all. And I can tell you the pros and cons of each. So just talk to me sometime. Let's see. Before that, I was at Soul Thirst Lutheran Church in the Colony, Texas, not too far from some of y'all. And before that, I was a Lutheran teacher for a time. And before that, for many, many years, I was a summer camp director, not in the Lutheran system, but in basically the special needs camp world. I was the director at a camp called Karis Hills in the Hill Country, Texas. It used to be called Star Ranch. Not far, about 5 minutes from Camp Mystic, if you've heard about what's going on there. I was not far from there, so that hits a little close to home. But my background, I met my wife at the summer camp I worked at. I worked there all throughout college and afterwards, and it became a full-time career. And I traveled around the country running a camp in New England and a camp in East Texas. And I have always had a heart for children with special needs. Whatever the description was, great, cool. I forgot about it a month later, and you're here. And I have changed this talk many, many times, but I've been giving similar talks for almost 20 years now. And these are all of the lessons I've learned from being in youth ministry and adult ministry, family ministry, special needs ministry, summer camp ministry for the past 25 years. Okay? Now, I am no expert on everything, but I think I'm an expert on everything. So here's the three things that hopefully I can bring some expertise to. We're going to do gospel-centered framework for embracing differences. All right, that's our goal. Our plan today was to play a game. Did we do that? Good. The next thing is to learn some acronyms. We're about to do that. And then if we have time, we're going to make a game. Okay? Here's our tone for today. Conversational. Please interrupt. This is a smaller room. I don't even like wearing a mic right now. I have another talk that's more important than this one. I put all the planning into that one. So this one, we're just going to wing it, okay? Is that all right with y'all? Interrupt as much as you want, but be sure to come to my next talk because that's the good one, and we'll be in the big room over there. It's on video games and the gospel, all right? But we're doing all three of these talks all week, so tell your friends if you like this one, have them come back. It'll change by the third time I do it, okay? So let's talk for a second. Here's your discussion question. Why this session? Talk to someone around you and say why you picked this session, and a legitimate answer is my group came here. So notice, though, that when you see games, you kind of want to be there, right? So why in the world, in our culture, do we kind of poo-poo games, right? Even in education, where it's supposed to be like, you know, teach like a pirate, all that kind of stuff, we still poo-poo games, don't we? Yeah, we'll talk about that some more. Here's why I'm doing this session. So my mother had a brother born in the 60s, and he was born with mental retardation, is what they would have called it back then. Why am I blanking on the technical term? Down syndrome. Charlie had Down syndrome, and because of that, in the 1960s, parents didn't really know what to do, and he was given up for adoption at the age of one. And my mother didn't see him ever again, right? And her mission in life then was to really learn how to do special education and care for people like that, because she lost her brother, basically. And so I kind of picked up that passion from my mom for people that fall through the cracks, especially those with special needs or learning differences, et cetera. Now, Charlie, it turns out, was adopted by a group home, a Lutheran one, Bethesda. You ever heard of Bethesda? Yeah, I think they've changed their name now to Abelite, right? A wonderful organization. I got a scholarship from them to go to the seminary. It's amazing organization. But my uncle, who I've never met, grew up in an orphanage basically run by Bethesda and heard the gospel. And we finally found where he was after he passed away, because his records were unsealed, and we found his tombstone, and it has the gospel on his tombstone. You know, so that is a special place in my heart. So I found myself working at Christian summer camps, and one in particular that ministered to children with ADHD and autism spectrum stuff. And so I ended up running that summer camp, and that's where I met my wife, and we got married at the camp, and we're having our first year of marriage. And, you know, marriage, your first year is perfect. There's never any issues. You don't annoy each other at all. And my wife sits me down one day and says, take this personality test. And I'm thinking, I love personality tests, right? Okay, a little bit of an aside. She just finished her master's on autism intervention, and she gives me a personality test. Okay, let's go Star Wars with this. It's a trap, right? It turns out I'm on the spectrum. And I was running a summer camp for children on the spectrum. And my wife was like, this is why you get along with them, because you can talk about trains for 2 hours with a kid, right? You know, we all got our trains, don't we? Mine just happens to also be Lego trains. All right. So this is a passion of mine. I believe wholeheartedly that the gospel is for everyone, and faith like a child is what we're supposed to have. And sometimes those with whatever they got going on neurologically are actually more likely to have faith like a child, right? Us adults who think we're so great and neurotypical, we just make things harder, right? As if there is neurotypical, whatever. So here's my question. Your next discussion question, is empathy bad? Oh, good. Y'all are the people who showed up knowing it's what? It's good. Now, I'm just going to get it in front of this. Right now in certain media, podcasts, etc., we are being told one of the worst lies, and it's infiltrating the Christian church, and it's even infiltrating the Lutheran church, LCMS. And that is this idea that empathy is bad? No. Now, you can define it how you want and twist the definition and make it sound like it's something evil. But empathy itself, being able to put yourself in someone else's shoes, to wear their skin, as To Kill a Mockingbird would say it, right? That is a huge, huge skill. And one of the ways we can do that is through games, through fun, through food, through travel, through art, through culture, through video games. Come to that talk later. We'll talk about it. Empathy is extremely, extremely important. And who showed the most empathy, and where do we see it? The cross, right? The humiliation of Christ, this God-man slumming among us, caring for us, dying for us, right? You want to see special needs? They're on the cross, okay? All right, so that being said, let's move on to what empathy is going to stand for us. This is a, acronym or mnemonic? Which one is it? Some say acronym. Who says mnemonic? Okay, you guys are Lutherans, both and. It's all about both and with us, right? It's a mnemonic is a type of an acronym. There's your word of the day. But this is one where it spells something. Empathy. If you send me an email, etc., I'll have a handout for this. I can get you. And I'll share the presentation, but definitely take a picture of that. That'll help you. I didn't make it to the printer today. Sorry. Nor am I going to spend that money. But on my website, once I remember my password, we will add a link to this. And I'll update my resume on there. Okay, so E stands for expectations, M for mind matters, P for personal choices, A, acceptance, T, transitions, H, habitat, and Y, young at heart. This is everything you need to know about ministry and ministering to any human being, let alone those with special needs, etc. So kids in the room right now, I did not do this as an adult seminar. I did this as a youth seminar because youth groups run better when the youth understand these things and care for each other. Adults, you're just encouraging the youth to do what we're going to talk about. You got to let them do it, though. Okay? So youth, this is for you, even though it's college-level stuff. All right? Can you handle college-level stuff? Of course you can. College is easy. All right. All right. So E means expectations. You need to, again, I forgot to download my notes and there's no internet in here, so I'm going to do my best off the cuff. Does that work for y'all? You need to measure your expectations with your kids' expectations, first and foremost. People come into your group. You got to think about using empathy. What are they expecting from this? Now, let's talk youth gathering. You want to see it go south with your kids? Don't tell them what we're going to do all week. Right? Or tell them it's just going to be fun and games the entire time. It's like a vacation. Or tell them it's a missions trip and you're going to be working the entire time. No, you need to be realistic with the expectations, but you also need to draw out of people what are their expectations. What are they thinking they're getting into? Okay? Does that make sense? And then somehow find a balance or communicate your expectations better. Any teachers in the room? Yeah, so are you going to start the school year not telling your kids any rules? Absolutely. It's going to go so well. Are you going to come on this youth group trip to a whole nother state and fly in a plane or a bus or whatever without having a covenant? Who here did a behavior covenant? Good. Did you write it or did your kids write it? Yes. Both and, right? So you want to clarify these things without crushing someone's feelings or expectations or any of that. You guys know there's a distinction between law and gospel, right? Right? Okay, which one has more power? Wrong! According to Paul, only one of them changes you. Which one is it? Gospel. You still need law. We all know about it, curbs, it mirrors, and all those things. But which one changes hearts and actually changes behavior? The gospel. Doesn't mean you can't have expectations and shouldn't have expectations, but the gospel, good news, encouragement, hope, and grace are going to be way more useful in your youth group and with your peers, and especially with those with special needs. Okay? One of the easiest ways to crush someone who's going through something is to give them more law. Remember, this is coming from a guy who ran a camp with ADHD kids and kids on the spectrum living in the same cabins. And I'm telling you, it's not about the law. Okay? All right. Here's our gospel lens. The law reveals what God expects, but the gospel reveals what God has already done. This is how Paul writes his letters. Remember who you are. This is what it looks like. Go be that person. And when you screw up, remember who you are already in Christ. Go be that person. And when you screw up, remember who you are in Christ. How are they going to know who they are in Christ if we don't give them the good news? I'm about to go off on a tangent. I'm not going to. That's a different talk another day. But seriously, youth ministry, why are we always trying to fix these kids with more rules? Kids, right? Right? Okay. Let's go on to M, mind matters. There are so many different labels we could put on people, right? I told you my label. What is it? I'm on the spectrum. Okay. I'm also a pastor. I got lots of labels, right? But if we're talking about the neuroatypical kind of stuff, how my brain works, I'm on the spectrum. And knowing that helps me out. You knowing it, I don't care. I don't care. That's mine. You could go the route in youth ministry where you're trying to figure out what all the labels are for your kids. Does that kid have ADHD? Do I need to talk to their parents? Does that kid have autism? Is that kid dealing with anxiety? Is that kid dealing with this, that, and the other? Here's the best stance to have, both youth and adults, for dealing with other, ministering to people in your groups. Assume they're dealing with something. Assume their brain works different than you. Assume you're going to need some empathy. Assume that we all have the exact same condition, which is this. What's the learning disability that all of us have? You guys are smart. Sin. Well, you stole the answer, and that's a good strategy. That's called a coping skill. Yeah. Oh, man, I am going to trip on this. But these are the big three. These are the big three you're dealing with. And sometimes a combination of all of them. Right? If I'm being honest, I'm all three. Originally in the 80s, I was diagnosed as ADHD. My wife later, as a autism intervention specialist, diagnosed me with autism. And my doctor diagnosed me with anxiety. And I'm on medicine for all three. And that's okay. So when we're thinking about mind matters and how people's brains work and all those different kinds of things, you don't need to know all the details. What you need to do is change how you talk. Coming from a place of empathy. This is what we tend to hear. Calm down. Okay, to an ADHD kid, what does that mean? Stop being you. What's a better thing we could say? What's something else we could say? Yeah. You give them something. I love that. Give them a fidget spinner or something or something. Ah, smart, smart, smart. Good. Anything else you could say instead of calm down? I'm trying to find my notes that my wife wrote me. Oh, I love this one. This is so my wife. Do you want to take a break together? Now, I love the youth gathering. You know what we have here? A room for what? Yeah, we got relaxation rooms, but we also got a sensory room. Isn't it great? I need that. My parents used to be all like, why are you always in the basement, James? I'm like, because it's my sensory room. All right, you're being rude. This is what a child with autism is told all the time. And what are you really telling them? Stop being yourself. You're not normal. Okay, what's something else we could say? Here's what my wife put. You ready? It seems like something's hard right now. Want to talk? Hey, are you picking up on the social cue the other person's giving you? Right? Okay. Hey, just be aware, your volume's loud right now. Okay. Hey, let's use some empathy. How could that make them feel? Right? Encouraging stuff, we're teaching social skills, all those things. But when it comes down to it, we're talking gospel, aren't we? Why can't you sit still? Because God didn't make me that way. Thank you very much. All right. Does anyone here really like sitting still? We force kids into a box. Youth group should not be the place where we're making people sit still. I tried to get us moving around a little bit, right? Yeah, it's kind of hard in this room. But if you need to fidget or get up, that does not bug me at all. Okay? So here's the gospel lens. Jesus never told the hurting or the different to act normal. He moved towards people others avoided. He sought out the people who were being rude, who didn't understand the social norms. Right? Those were his special people. Okay? So we got to do the same thing. The P in empathy, personal choices. Who here likes to choose things and be in control? Oh, not just people with special needs. Every human being. However, some people feel it more. And there's also got to have some empathy on some people when they get stressed, can't make choices. But there should still be an option, right? A lot of times when I got a kid who's running around doing whatever, I will say to them, instead of, hey, go sit there, like, you can choose to sit there or there. Your choice, right? There's some choice involved. I don't ever force participation. If you have to force participation, what you're doing is probably dumb, right? So make it more fun so you don't have to force participation, right? Okay, we all love choice. We're going to power through this. Here's our gospel lens. It's for freedom that Christ has set us free, and that freedom involves a lot of choice, okay? Unpack doctrine of vocation with your kids sometime. It's beautiful and it's amazing, and it should give you some peace. Because we don't all have to do the same things or look the same way. And our groups, our youth groups, et cetera, should allow some choice. Last night, our kids really wanted choice for dinner. I'm the type of guy who wants to make a reservation for all 29 kids. And we've got that coming up. But last night was the right night for our kids to have a choice where they were going to eat, right? As much as they should eat local food, go ahead and have your Shake Shack. It's all right. It's a legitimate choice. All right. We are secure in the gospel, so we shouldn't fear our kids making certain choices. Okay? And if it stresses you out as an adult when the kids are making choices, then you're the control freak. And you need to rest in the gospel. Not to be accusatory to you. All right. The A in empathy, acceptance. We're just going to go to the gospel lens with this one. Jesus didn't wait for people to get their act together. If he did, we'd all be in trouble, right? And this is the key to ministry with any group that's falling through the cracks, is realizing that you are not any better, chief of sinners though I be. What's the next line? Yay! Right? So, his grace isn't reserved for the well-behaved, the good at sports, the ones who are high achievers. Those are all cool things. But it's poured out on the broken, the quirky, the misunderstood. Those, in lots of ways, are the people Christ sought out. And then that's how we got to do things. I'll go ahead and say this. It's a secret to my ministry, and I'm sorry anyone in the room that I've ever done this to. The kid that annoys me the most is the kid that I treat like they're the coolest and have the best ideas, and I want to be around the most and all those things. And you know what happens over time? It becomes true. All right? So try that out. There's that kid who really bugs you the most. Means you need to spend more time with him. Okay? There's the adult that really bugs you the most. Go spend more time with them. All right. And now we're on T, transitions. One of the ways for everyone in your group to feel more at peace is to know when change is coming. Do not throw curveballs at people. Now, is there always going to be curveballs thrown at you? But do not do what a lot of things teach to do in youth ministry, which is surprise them with things. We need to manipulate them so that they feel. So let's not let them know it's coming up so they're on edge so we can push them over the edge. And then give them Jesus. That is somehow the MO at a lot of youth events and ministries and summer camps and stuff. I've been there. I've been manipulated by it. It hurts. But even just little transition of giving heads up to the entire group, hey, in 20 minutes, we're going to lunch. Start thinking about what you want. Here's the menu, so you can start thinking about that, right? Some of us probably experienced some of these things with the flights and all that kind of stuff, okay? The more you have things scripted with choice that people can know what's coming up, the better. This does not leave this room. Okay? I suffer from ulcerative colitis, and when I get nervous, I better run to a bathroom. So for me to be comfortable, it's just as simple as whatever group I'm in, they say, hey, the bathrooms are over there. Good. Right? That's my issue. You got kids like that. Could be bathroom, could be anything, could be all kinds of stuff, especially with teenagers. All right? So the more heads up you give, the better. Now, the other thing you can do that's fun, especially for youth groups, is the transitions can be a game. So when I ran the camp with little kids and we needed to get them from one place to another and they're having trouble lining up, well, we're going to play Sneaky Ninja, kids. Are you ready for this? Let's see if we can get from point A to point B without anyone else noticing us. So when I was a substitute teach and stuff, I'd do that with kids going from one classroom to another, and they'd be like, how did you get that class to get here without making any noise? Because we're ninjas, right? They're called ambulator games. You've probably played the simplest of them, follow the leader. Okay, teenagers like that stuff too. I created a youth retreat in New England in the middle of the winter. Weirdos. There was like 2 feet of snow, and I'm like, how do I make this fun? Well, the schedule for the retreat was a map, right? With quests you had to do tied to a website, and you would unlock certain pages. So to get them to lunch, they actually went on a quest and didn't realize they were going to make it to lunch because they were doing different tasks. So you can gamify these things too. What time do we got? 20 minutes? Sweet. This is one of my favorite ones. This is just the H in empathy. Habitat. Think about the spaces you're using. If you're a teacher, soft seating, if you're having a group over to your house, think about the space. Make it comfortable. Okay? Not to throw you guys under the bus. Last youth gathering, how comfortable were our evening Bible studies? They were awful. Awful. Why? I know what your choice. That's why I'm calling you out. What did we do? We took how many? No chairs, no nothing. 15 kids and all the adults crammed into one hotel room for our evening Bible study. It was bad. And I'm thinking the whole time, what if I have to go to the bathroom? Everyone's going to hear me. Right? Find a better place. It wasn't you. I know. We all learned our lesson. So habitat's super important, and it's going to be different for different people, right? We tend to do this thing where we think only certain places are holy, only certain vocations are holy, only certain people are holy. Y'all, anywhere we go, why is it holy? Spirit's there, right? Now let's make it comfortable. Let's make it where people can be themselves, where there's no fear, there's no anxiety. All of us have baggage, right? Okay. So Jesus didn't just preach in holy places. He made holy places wherever he went. He thought holistically about children and adults too. When he was preaching and he noticed people were hungry, what'd he do? Oh boy, he fed them, right? That's a whole nother lesson. All right. And finally, the why in empathy, and then we're going to have fun again. Young at heart. Kids, adults, leave your dignity at the door. Right? Have some fun. Be childlike, but not childish. You see this distinction? Childlike is willing to play cards with my kids, have some fun, run around, etc. Go swimming. Joke around. Childish is running through the halls at 2 a.m., knocking on people's doors, blah, 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 blah. Immature, maturity in Christ. Childlike faith in maturity. Right? Kids, have you been in situations where the adults are just wet blankets? Can't have any fun? Adults, have you been in any situations where the kids won't loosen up? Goodness. But the adults are going to set the tone, right? Seniors. This one is the most for you, not senior citizens. Okay. Seniors in high school. You start to get this thing where like, I'm too cool for school. I'm too cool for youth group. I'm too cool, whatever. Have you seen the yavs out there? They're the most childlike weirdos I've ever seen. And it changes the tone of the entire convention having Yavs here. Have you noticed that? Don't tell them I said this, but they're great. Oh, sorry, we probably should. All right. So here's our gospel lens for young at heart. Jesus welcomed children without prerequisites. He blessed them not for what they could contribute, but for who they already are. And this is at the heart of ministry. Way too often we're looking at the youth in our group, either other youth or the youth, and we're trying to identify who's going to be the leader, who's going to be the next blah, blah, blah. What skills do they bring? Do they play instruments? Y'all, if none of your kids play instruments and they all play D&D, what should your youth group be doing? Playing D&D for Christ. Right? I started a club at a high school I worked at in Plano, and we called it Nerd Club. Every day at lunch in my classroom, I had four Xboxes system linked, and we played Halo with 16 players. It was awesome. And we had four D&D groups going. And, you know, that there were kids at my school that were falling through the cracks because they didn't play sports. They weren't skilled musically. And they loved nerd culture. So that was our youth group. Does that make sense? If they had been into baseball, I would have tried to learn something about baseball. All right. This is my fun thing. This is trademarked. You can use it with permission. I'll have handouts and all those kinds of things. Are you guys ready for a transition? Sorry. Everyone breathe. Shake it out. Okay, you learned things. Now forget them and we'll come back to them later. Let's apply it. This is trademark the more method of games. This is what you came for. All right? But we can't do it unless you heard the other stuff. This is how you can take any game, any situation, and make it meaningful and fun. Okay? More from games. Here it is. M stands for mission. O stands for, say it. R. E. It's that simple. Get more from games. Now, okay, let's talk basketball for a second. What's the mission in basketball? Wrong! Wrong! Okay. Okay, okay, okay. Sorry. Stay with me. I'm tricking you on purpose. The objective in basketball is to score points and get the ball in the hoop. If you've been a coach, you know what I'm talking about here. What's the actual mission for youth basketball? Have fun, build skills, camaraderie, get a scholarship someday, destroy the other team. Okay, I have had basketball coaches where the mission was to win at all costs. He was eventually fired. The objective in basketball is get the ball through the hoop. Sometimes that's you're playing a pickup game with some friends, that's it. But really the mission is you're having fun together. You're bonding. All right, the rules of basketball, what are they? Got to dribble the ball. Don't go outside the boundaries. All right, how many balls do you use? One. How many players are there on the court? Five on one team, five on the other. The rest are watching everyone else have fun and not participating. Okay, and what's the equipment for basketball? A basketball, a gym, two goals. Don't wear Crocs. You got to have the right safety things on, yada, yada, yada. Okay. What if we want to play basketball, but we don't have a gym? Here we go. All right. All of a sudden, we've invented a new game. I heard trash can. We're changing the basketball goal to a trash can. We're out in a field. You got a trash can there, a trash can there. And you tell the kids, same rules as basketball, except we're using the trash cans. And then you can modify the rules even more. You got, okay, 5 and 5. That's not fun. 15 and 15. Okay, but now you're realizing you're playing the game and it's utter chaos. All right. Let's reinvent this game. We take the field. We get 4 garbage cans. Right? And we got a bat. Okay, there we go. We got more than one basketball. We got 3. Oh, come on. We got more than 3 basketballs. What are we going to do? And a frisbee. Okay, we don't have frisbees or basketballs, but people got hats? Okay, shoes. You see how these games are developing? And we got a new field game, but it's getting too violent. No moving with the ball. Okay, awesome. So we're adjusting the rules as we play, and that's part of the plan. And the kids think it's something you scripted out, but really you're just thinking on the fly and noticing things. But then you notice, too, that there's a few kids that don't seem to know anyone else. And they really hate your talk, so they leave. Bye, y'all. Thanks for coming. You notice that there's some kids that still don't quite know other people's names because they're from that other church and they're visiting. All right, we got a new rule this round. Thank you for the 10-minute warning. You have to say it. You can't pass the ball till you call someone's name. Wait, what's your name? What's your name? Okay. Is this basketball anymore? No, it's Super Ball. Super Trash Ball. Right? Okay, we started there, but we noticed a need. We got a new mission. Right? Okay. Let's start from scratch. We're in the airport. We got a deck of cards. We got some new kids in our group. You see where we could go with this? All right, we have nothing. Okay, there's always trash cans. Imagination games. Okay, hold on. I've played D&D in a car on a road trip with people just using our minds. Right? You'll notice the phones get put away as these things get more fun. You'll notice the kids aren't on the sidelines as you change the rules and think about what that one kid needs. You'll notice that you've got some kids that maybe have some physical disabilities and you adjust the physicality level of the game, right? Forget about making the objective the mission. That has messed up sports for so many of us, and many of us have a bad taste in our mouth and scars from sports. Okay. Your mission for youth group is what? Christ for you. What's that look like? Faith, fun, fellowship, food. Find ways to combine those things with the game. Now, my challenge to you right now is with whatever group you're here, if you're alone, I want you to start with a well-known game like basketball and start messing with the letters, but with a mission in mind. It can be a big mission like Christ for you. I used to play a game at a summer camp I grew up at called Romans and Christians. Who went to a Lutheran camp and played Romans and Christians? All right, it's just glorified hide and seek. But through that game, we would pretend that the counselors were Romans and the kids were the Christians trying to find where the secret Christian meeting was. So we were learning contextual history of church history in the first century, second century, right? But also when you got caught by the Romans, you didn't try to run away. You would share your faith and maybe the Roman would show you a little leniency. So the first time I ever shared the gospel was in a game of hide and seek. I role played being a first century Christian as my counselor at camp wore a bedsheet as a toga, right? And carried around an oar for a spear. Lutheran camps, we are so podunk, they're the best. They're the best. All right, so in your remaining time, we've got 5 minutes. 5 minutes. See how quickly you can come up with a game that you could take away or play with your group. Hey, I hope you had fun. Continue your conversations on your games. Let me give you the gospel before you go. You will never, ever, ever be closer to God than you already are through Christ Jesus. Stop trying. Just rest in that. Amen? Amen? And in that rest, have some fun, make some games, meet some people, etc.